Lester Green family. The oldest girl was Lucille. The next was Berdinia. Lucille was about the age of either Maude or Leola. Berdinia was near Mary's age. And then Bert was exactly between Carlisle and I in age. And then there was a younger girl, Elsie. And we used to see them quite often because of being close. The other cousins and most of the others, we didn't see that often. When we would go to Buell, Dad's younger brother, Oscar, and his wife, Ellen, lived there. They didn't have any children of their own, but they had adopted Stella, who was the daughter of Dad's youngest sister, who died shortly after giving birth to Stella. And then Uncle Joe and Aunt Luella lived over in the Louisville area, and we used to see them and their kids when we would go to visit the Walker side of the family. One of Dad's brothers, Uncle Bert, lived in Twin Falls, and so generally he would come over to visit. I don't recall that Bert ever got married. The older other ones of the family, like I say, Aunt Luella, was Dad's older sister, and we used to see her. So the cousin situation wasn't real close, and we would only see them once in a while. One of Mother's brothers, Mayer, used to come to visit, and he's the one that knew about three chords on the piano and would play those three chords and sing all kinds of crazy songs that Carlisle and I used to really enjoy, and we heard them enough times from him that we memorized parts of some of them. I'll try to record some of those as we go along on this. One of those songs was a prisoner song, and it went something like this. I'll have to stop and think for a minute how it goes. With the cold prison bars all around me and my head on a pillow of stone, oh, I wish I had someone to love me, someone who could call me their own. And if I had the wings of an angel, over these prison walls I would fly. I would fly to the arms of my darling, and there I'd be willing to die. Mayer, like I say, only knew about three chords on the piano, but he could sure put a lot of songs to those three chords, and it's hard for me to remember all the words to those different songs. Another one was about being single, I wish I was single, oh then, oh then, oh, I wish I was single, oh then, for when I was single my pockets did jingle and I longed to be single again. And this had a whole lot of verses to it that were kind of crazy. He said, I got me a wife at the risk of my life, and I long to be single again. For when I was single, my pockets did jingle, and I long to be single again. I married another, the devil's grandmother, and I long to be single again. And then there was another one that kind of was a along the same lines, and I'm not sure whether it tied together with it or not, but it was, she owns a peanut stand way out in no man's land. Oh boy, that's where my money goes. She drives a limousine, I buy the gasoline. Oh boy, that's where my money goes. And another one that seemed like always, as you kids were growing up, you always used to get a kick out of, was the one that about the Sunday school. Old folks, young folks, everybody come and join our Sunday school. You have a lot of fun. Your park, your chewing gum, and your razors at the door, and we'll tell you Bible stories that you never heard before. Along come Noah, walking in the dark. He picked up a hatchet and built himself an ark. He marched in the animals two by two, the elephant, the jackal, and the kangaroo. Oh, young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join our Sunday school, you have a lot of fun. You park your chewing gum and your razors at the door, and we'll tell you Bible stories that you never heard before. Oh, Daniel got sassy and he wouldn't mind the king. The king said, I'll be darned if I'll stand for such a thing. So the king put Daniel with the lions underneath. But Daniel was a dentist, so he pulled the lion's teeth. It was interesting. You hear all those old songs like that and you think, well, somebody just made them up, or they really weren't a song that was written down. But a few years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago or more now, my sister Maud was looking through an old bookstore that had a bunch of old books, and she ran across a book that was a songbook printed in the early 1920s, and it had almost every old song like that in it that you can imagine. It had about 30 verses to that song about Sunday school, and it was really interesting to go through that book. I copied some of the songs out of it, or the ones that I recognized a little more, and hoped that I would eventually end up with that book. But when she became infirm with Alzheimer's, Nancy just gave all of her stuff to the Deseret Industries, and so we don't know what happened to it. Maud had tried to get copies of the book, and it had been out of print since 1925 or something like that, so it was impossible to get any more of them. But it was interesting that those kinds of songs were actually written down and were songs that somebody had composed at one time. And I'll go back to time in Brigham City now. The early part of May, just a few weeks before my 16th birthday, a good friend of mine and I were sitting out on the lawn by the school, thoroughly bored because there was only a few weeks left of school, and I guess the spring of the year fires you up to do something. And we got talking and we said, we ought to go somewhere, we ought to take a trip. And we both agreed that we should, and we talked a little more about it. And a couple of days later, Grant, his name was Grant Checkitz. He lived out in Bear River. In fact, his dad was the bishop at the ward out in Bear River. And Grant came and he says, you know, my dad says that he wants to buy a new Plymouth truck, and that if we wanted to go pick it up for him in Detroit, he'd pay for the gas for us to bring it home. Well, that's a pretty generous offer. He didn't offer to pay any of our expenses for going to get it, but we didn't think about that, and we didn't really care. It was just an exciting idea, well, if we had somewhere to go. So I went home and approached the subject very cautiously, because I thought, well, you know, mother's going to think, here this 16, or just about 16. How would it be? I must have turned 16, and I was 16 on my birthday, which was the 15th of May. In a few weeks, I would turn 17. That's what it was. And Dad didn't think that was a very smart idea for us to go. But the surprise to me was that Mother said, "Oh, let him go. I think that'd be a great experience for him." So Grant and I, we still had 2 weeks of school to go, and we went and talked to our teachers, and some of them were a little cooperative and let us take an exam to finish out, and the others said no, that if we didn't finish out, that we would lose the grade for the school year. And at that point we said, well, the trip's more important, so we're going to go anyway. And so we packed up a little duffel bag. Each of us packed our duffel bag with a few basic change of clothes and a toothbrush and a blanket wrapped up, these things wrapped in a blanket and like a bedroll. And I had saved up and had $21, and Grant had $11, And that's how much we started out with. So we went from Brigham City into Ogden, which Ogden was a big exchange area for the, on the railroad. They had big yards and did repair and had the roundhouse there and everything in Ogden, and it was quite a big railroad yard. So we went there, and we were snooping around with the idea that we would try to hitch a ride on the freight trains heading back east. And while we were snooping around doing that, we ran across a guy, and he says, "Where are you guys headed?" And we said, "Well, we want to go east." And he says, "Do you want a job?" And we says, "Sure." And he says, "Depends on what it is." And he said, "Well, I'm hauling a load of sheep to Omaha, and I have to have so many men on board the train so that whenever the train stops, they have to stop every so often, and we unload the sheep and let them off, and we feed them and water them, and then load them back on the train again." And there was two stops like that between Ogden and Omaha. And he says, "I have to have some certain amount of men that are watching the sheep when we take them off. And so if you want to hire on, why, we'll give you a free ride to Omaha." He didn't offer to pay us anything, but we didn't, that didn't even occur to us either. So anyway, we got on the train and we rode in the caboose. And part of the caboose had like bunk beds in it, so we were pretty comfortable. We were able to sleep in the bunk beds, and then whenever the train would stop and unload the sheep, why, we would have to get out and herd sheep for a few hours, and then they'd put them back on and away we'd go again. So we got as far as Omaha, Nebraska that way. And when we started to try to go out of Omaha and try to catch a ride, why, two or three of the guys who were riding the freight trains, they said, "You'll never get out of Omaha. They have too many railroad policemen that were on duty all the time around the place." But he says, "If you just go across the river to Council Bluffs, Iowa, you can get out of there pretty easy." So we took a bus across the river into Council Bluffs, and that evening, while we kept watching the freight trains that were heading east, and finally we saw one that stopped, and they were hauling two old passenger cars that were real dilapidated and beat up, and they were taking them probably back to a place in Chicago or New York or Detroit where they were going to repair them and fix them up. And so we climbed on board those and hid under the seats, and the train got going, and we never were checked, and that made a pretty comfortable place because there were a bunch of old seats in the Pullman cars, and we passenger cars, and we rode in that and as far as Chicago. And then we were dumped off at Chicago, and we tried and tried, and we couldn't get another freight ride out of there, so we figured out how much money we had, and figured we had enough money to take the bus from Chicago to Detroit. I think it was $3 a piece or something like that to go from Chicago to Detroit. So we rode the bus into Detroit. By now it's the end of May. In fact, I turned 17 while we were on the trip, and we got into Detroit on a Friday, and went to, actually just outside of Detroit, to a little town of Flint is where the Plymouth factory was, and we had our paperwork, and we went in there on Friday, and the guy said, "Well, sorry, but everybody's gone already for the long Memorial Day weekend, so we can't check the truck out until Tuesday." So here we were in Detroit, and we hardly had any money left, and so we asked the guy if he would, it was a storage yard for the cars for the factory, and we asked him if we could sleep in one of the vans in our service vehicle over the weekend, and he was very nice and said, "Well, I'm not supposed to," but he let us sleep in there, and we had our own blankets with us. So We went, we found that we could ride the bus service or the trolley service in Detroit for 5 cents plus a penny a piece for transfers. So we got a city map and we would get on a bus and we would ride to the end where the bus was going on that particular route, and then we would, with our 1 penny transfer, we'd get on another bus and we'd go another direction. And we, so we had quite a sightseeing tour of Detroit for like 15 cents a piece or something, and we went all over the place. And one of the places we saw as we were going over on the east side of Detroit was a big park with a big carnival like setup going on. So we, when we got to that area, or the next day when we went, we went back over to that area on the bus and spent the whole day, I guess this was Saturday then, and no, I guess it was Monday on the holiday, and we spent all day Monday over there looking around in the carnival. We didn't have enough money to really ride on very many of the rides or do many of the things, but we spent our day looking around there. And then Tuesday morning we went in and they delivered the truck to us, and like I say, it was a Plymouth pickup truck, and I don't think Plymouth has made pickup truck since then that I can remember hardly. That was a 1937 Plymouth pickup truck. And so we got the truck and started out of Detroit on the way home, and like I say, he had given us enough money to buy gas to run the truck and take care of it getting home. And as soon as we got out of town a little ways, we stopped by a field where there was a bunch of hay, and we put a bunch of hay in the back of the pickup bed, and then we had our blankets with us, so that was our bed and our home on the way coming home. We found the economical way to eat to get us by on this trip was we would go into a grocery store and we could buy a stack of bologna for about 20 cents. We could buy about 2-inch high stack of bologna, and if we bought day-old bread, that they called it, which they had on a separate thing, we could buy the bread for 10 cents a loaf. So we ate bologna sandwiches, and we'd buy milk once in a while. And we got partway home, and I've forgotten the exact town, but we weren't too far out from Detroit on the way home, and we pretty well had run out of our own money. So we were driving along through countryside, and we saw a farm type of place that looked like a pretty good farm, and so we stopped and asked the people if they needed any help, anybody to work there for them. And so we got 3 days work at this farm while we were where we stopped then, and they paid us for that, so that gave us enough money to start buying food again, and we took off and started home again. And I've forgotten exactly how long it took us, but it took us quite a while, because about every 2 or 3 days we'd have to stop and get a job for a day in order to have enough money to keep eating, as all we had money for was just barely to buy gas for the car. So we got home sometime, I think it was around the first part of July. We'd been gone almost all of May and all of June. We got home in July, and I'd been home and had gone to work there for, I think that's when I went to the work in the ice cream place, and I'd been working there for a few weeks, and Leola and Dave called up. They had, Dave was teaching school at Davis High School, just outside of Farmington, and he had gotten a job for the summer of driving a bus for the park systems that was owned by Union Pacific, and they ran tour buses that would go from Bryce and Zion and Grand Canyon and then in a circle and back to Cedar City. So they had rented a little apartment in Cedar City. In fact, it was an apartment in the upstairs in a home that was owned by the Haights. Found out later in years that was that he was a brother to the Haight that was in the general authority. And this small apartment up there, and Dave would be gone driving the bus through the parks for quite a, you know, like a couple of weeks at a time. And so it left Leola alone, and David was born that year. Their oldest son David was born in May of that year, and so they had this brand new baby. So that's why she had wanted me to come down and stay with them, so she wouldn't be alone so much and could help her with the baby. So I was only home for a few weeks from having gone to Detroit, and I went down to Cedar City and stayed with Leola and Dave, and I took my violin with me, and I tried to get work during the day, but I didn't have any luck. I couldn't find a job, but I did get a job with a dance orchestra that was playing two nights a week in an open air dance hall that they had there in Cedar City, and so that gave me a little spending money, enough that I wasn't totally broke, and I played with that dance band until it was time to go back to Ogden to start in high school, and that was my senior year in high school. Went back and started there in the fall, and they had just built a brand new high school, a big beautiful rock building, and in fact it wasn't even completed. The third floor was still just all open construction work that hadn't been finished off, but they had enough of the school finished for the size of the student body that we went to school there. So my senior year in school, I primarily took orchestra I took a physics class, which was my first experience in that field, and I really enjoyed that. I thought it was real interesting. It was an area that I could really relate to, and that was to find out how things worked and why they worked, and that was always interesting to me. So I enjoyed that class. I worked two jobs while I was there. My sister Maud and her husband Phil had a news agency where they were the distributor of magazines, like to the drugstores and all the places that sold magazines. They operated this out of the basement of their home. And he told me one day that there was an opening available in town for a boy sales manager. And what that was is that in those days, a lot of the magazines were sold door to door, and they would be sold by young boys, and the boys would, like Saturday Evening Post and Liberty and Collier's magazine primarily from the Curtis Publishing Company, and they sold for 5 cents a piece, and the boys would buy them for 3 cents, and they would get to make 2 cents off each when they sold. And very frequently they would build up, some of them were weekly magazines, and then they had some that were monthly magazines, but most of them they would sell one each week. So if they had a route where they had 10 or 20 people who would buy the magazine from them every week, why, they had a regular service that they would offer to take these magazines around. So there had to be someone who would arrange the magazines for these boys, and that was the boy sales distributor. And that's the job I got with those magazine companies. And I got an override on all the magazines that were sold, that I got paid directly from the company. And the company had incentive basis. If the boys sold 20 magazines, they got a pocket knife. If they sold 30, they got a flashlight. So there was all kinds of incentives to encourage the boys to sell more magazines, as well as for the additional money they would make. And then my portion of it also had a quota. If I got enough boys working and got enough magazines sold, then I would get an extra quarter of a cent for the magazines if I got over the quota and so on. So I built up a pretty good sales force of boys that were doing well, so I would have to receive the magazines, and they came through Phil's business. They would be delivered there to his place, and then with the magazines that he was taking to the newsstands, and I would take them, package them into groups for the boys for however many they were selling each week, and if any of them wanted extras to try to build up their sales, why, we would work accordingly. So I worked with those boys like that for all during that school year, and that was a job I could do on my own time. I would do it after school and on Saturdays. And then Phil found that he needed some extra help in the delivery of the magazines to the newsstands, packaging those up. Each, like a drugstore or a grocery store would say, well, I want so many of this and so many of that, and they would fill an order, and then we would package those magazines up into packages and deliver them to the stores and the newsstands, and then collect from them from whatever, or else make up a billing of whatever they had sold before that we'd take back in. So I worked part-time also helping do that while during that school year, and those two jobs kept me in funds for my senior year, but it sort of cut out much of a social life. I really didn't get involved in any clubs or organizations connected with the high school. I just primarily went to school, did what I had to do, and then did my work. And if I went out and had a social life, why, it was on my own that I dated and went to dances and shows and so on my own. I kind of jumped a little bit there when I came back from Cedar City. The folks had moved from Brigham City to Ogden in August of that year, while I was down Cedar City, and so they bought this home at 2100 Van Buren in Ogden, and that's where probably any of the family would remember them, because they lived there from 1937 until late in their 80s, when Dave and Leola built an apartment house behind their home there in Farmington, and the folks moved into that apartment behind their home. So that puts me in Ogden now in the fall of 1937, and going to my senior year of high school, and then I'll cover that. When I graduated from high school in the spring of 1938, then I went to work full-time for Phil Impey and his magazine business, where we would distribute magazines to the different sales stores around town. I also kept my boy sales distribution, where I would have all these boys selling magazines door to door for me, and I had to call on them once a week at least. And I also worked evenings at a service station down on the corner of 24th and Monroe, I think it was, and covered them on their night shift at the service station. I had had some experience working in the service station, because when I was in Brigham City, I worked part-time at a service station there during one summer and part of the school year. So then I worked that full year and part of the next year, and then Carlisle had then graduated. My brother graduated from high school, and he went on to college at Weber College, and so I helped pay for his tuition that first year of his going to school there, because he was was in a bad car accident in 1940 and broke his back, and he was in a brace and unable to do much work, but he could study, he could do his schoolwork. So he went on and started to go on to college to get his degree. He was aiming to become a doctor. And so that whole year I worked, and then part of the next year I decided I should go to school and try to get smart, which I don't know that I ever accomplished, but I went for two semesters at Weber College, and I took a class in salesmanship, I took a class in commercial art. I was in the symphony, and it was interesting when I went into the to play in the symphony. Mr. Johnson was the teacher, and he would rather play in the orchestra than he would conduct, even though that was his job. And he found out that I really enjoyed conducting, so most of the time he would turn the orchestra over to me, and he played the trumpet, and he would sit in the orchestra and play the trumpet. And I really enjoyed that, because that gave me a lot of experience in conducting a symphony orchestra. And then when I went the second semester, he said, why didn't I join the band? And I said, well, I don't play an instrument. The violin doesn't go very well in a marching band. And he said, well, we have a glockenspiel, which is the bell lyre. And he said, we have one of those. Why don't you play that? And if you feel like playing it, it's fine. If you don't, mainly I want you to be in the band so you can conduct the band for me, particularly at the football games and the marching band and so on, when they would go out and put on performances. Because he didn't. This is the end.